My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior.
This is Mission 66, brought to you by TWR and the Bible Teaching Ministry of Dr. Luis Seau. Today, we're stepping into 2 Samuel, offering timeless lessons of repentance, justice, mercy, and relying on God's guidance. You can follow along with your downloadable study guide at mission66.org. Here's John Matthews with Esther Sisulu to guide our study.
Greetings and welcome to our daily Bible exploration program, where we read through the pages of the Bible chapter by chapter. Now, the book of 2 Samuel describes the life and the reign of Israel's King David. And here we see that through thick and thin, good times and bad times, God shows David mercy and provision even in those times of discipline and hardship. Chapters 22 and 23 of 2 Samuel contain David's Song of Deliverance, which in fact is a repetition of what he wrote in Psalm 18. And so our teacher today, John Matthews, will help us reflect on David's song of praise with the theme, Unto God Be the Glory.
Esther, thank you so much. Great to be with you and a very, very warm welcome to you all. Wherever you join us from today, it is so good to have your company. And yeah, we're nearing the end now of the second book of Samuel, and we see this monarchy in Israel developing. So it began under the leadership of Saul, King Saul, but he lost his place, and little by little you have the great king, David, beginning to take over, and it's he who leads Israel into its finest and smoothest period. Why was he able to do that? Well, because David was a man who was extremely blessed by God. He obtained victory against his enemies, he extended the territory of ancient Israel, and he honoured God above all things. But now here we see the end of David's reign here in the second book of Samuel, and chapter 22 will present, as Esther just said there, this song of praise from David to God for everything that the Lord had done for him during his reign. And this is what it says. David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my saviour. From violent people you save me. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and have been saved from my enemies." David glorifies God for blessing him so much throughout his life, especially when he was in real danger, when he was running from his enemies. God is his fortress. God is his liberation. Interesting to see this, because many people, when life gets better, when their life seems blessed, when they're in what they would deem to be a better situation, well, how easily they, and in fact we, forget about God in those times. And all of a sudden we haven't got time for God because our life is so busy. But David, instead of glorifying himself for his abilities, for his own astuteness, his own intelligence, and his position as a victorious warrior, make no mistake, there would have been plenty around him who would have said, "David, look at you. You're so good in this area and that area. Oh man, David's something special." How easy it would have been for David to be filled with pride and thinking, "Yeah, look what I've done." But no, at this point, pride does not overcome him. And at this point, he thanks God for his shelter. He thanks God for keeping him safe, for the fact that God is his fortress. God is his victory in life. And that's made clear in the difficult moments when David gives his praise to God for delivering him. The chapter says that David recalls the tough times. He says, the waves of death swirled about me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out to my God. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came to his ears. This biblical passage is so beautiful and so important that, as Esther said in the introduction there, it's repeated in Psalm 18. And it presents to us these great experiences that David has had with God as a result of his faithfulness. And he presents those experiences exactly in the moment when he's confronted by the possibility of dying. And maybe some of our listeners have already experienced that moment in their life when it seems as though their lives were hanging by a thread. And it's in those moments that we realize the fragility of our existence here on earth. And perhaps in those moments, it's easier to see the power of God, his divine capacity to give us life. And at the same time, we realize how fragile we are, how fragile this life is when compared to the reality of the vast universe created by God. And maybe in moments like that, we realize who we are and who God is, and that God is our only hope. And that's, I think, what has happened here with David as he presents these words in this beautiful, well-structured composition. It's lovely biblical poetry. He says in verse 8, "The earth trembled and quaked. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds out of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of breath from his nostrils." As we all know, in ancient times, the pagans would worship nature itself. They believed that the natural powers were divine in themselves. That's why Baal, for example, was the god of the storm. But the power of God recognized as God, the only God, the God of the Bible here, is so much greater than the natural world. And how wouldn't it be? Because God is way above the physical world. And it's he who's responsible for everything that happens. It's he who created the natural world. And so here we have this recognition of God's power, his ability, his domain over everything, over meteorology itself, which influenced ancient life so much and still influences our lives and our thinking and our planning today as well. And David recognizes that God is the Lord of history, that he blessed David's life and he gave him everything that he had. And David recognizes that God is not only the Lord of history, but of the universe. He is a God above and beyond the limitations of time, of space, of history, of geography. This powerful God, which he sings of, is described in these chapters, in chapter 22 of 2 Samuel here, and he'll end his expression of praise, and it's a long passage. There are 51 verses, and they end with this phrase of exaltation. Listen to this. The Lord lives. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be my God, the rock, my Saviour. He is the God who avenges me, who puts the nations under me, who sets me free from my enemies. You exalted me above my foes. From a violent man you rescued me. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing the praises of your name. He gives his king great victories. He shows unfailing kindness to his anointed, to David, and his descendants forever. And so there ends David's hymn of praise.
This is Mission 66, and we're here with our teacher, John Matthews. And my name is Esther, and of course, we've come to our time of discussion to unpack chapters 22 and 23 of 2 Samuel. But before we get to that, friend, let me encourage you to continue growing deeper in your relationship with Jesus. And perhaps you can do that by becoming a financial partner with Mission 66. Now, whether you choose to give monthly or a one-time gift, what you're doing is you're enabling thousands who tune into Mission 66 each day to continue listening. Now, Mission 66 is a listener-supported ministry, and we count on generous friends like you to keep the broadcasts on the air. So would you take a moment right now to log on to mission66.org and be as generous as you can? God's word makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that he loves a cheerful giver. So take that encouragement and put it into action right now as you cheerfully give your generous gift at mission66.org. And thank you so much in advance for being a financial partner with Mission 66. And as you think about that and we think about God's word right now, John, earlier on, we pointed out that chapter 22 is almost the same as Psalm 18. So I do wonder, why do you suppose there's this repetition, and why does this passage appear again in the scriptures? Does it serve a purpose for it to appear twice in the Bible?
Well, you're right. The passage does show up twice. Similarly, actually, there are other stories that are told more than twice, three times in the Bible. For example, in the New Testament, we see the same story told in three different Gospels. Also, we have other Psalms that are repeated. And you're right, here in the second book of Samuel, we have Psalm 18, and the text is pretty much the same. Psalms was like a hymn book for Israel. It was a collection of these songs dedicated to God, and this Song of David is so special that it's included here as well. And so it's a significant time because it's the ending of David's life at the end of 2 Samuel, and we see just how much God had blessed him. And in Psalms, this same passage is included because it's part of a collection of poems used to praise God, recognizing all that he had done for David and all that he does for us. So this passage has a purpose that goes way beyond mere information, and so that is the reason for the repetition.
Right alongside us as we begin that look. But this psalm in 2 Samuel 22 really catches my attention because of the visuals, right? It talks about smoke rising from his nostrils, fire coming out of his mouth. And then in verse 14, it says, "The Lord thundered from heaven, the voice of the Most High resounded." Why do you think there's this dramatic imagery that shows up here?
Well, in short, Esther, because it is poetry. When we look at verse 11, it says that he mounted a cherubim, he soared on the wings of the wind. Now, let's not forget the context where it was believed in ancient times, in these days, that Baal controlled the rain. That's what some believed. That was the pagan belief. It was believed that thunder and lightning were products of these human-invented gods. But what David is saying here is, and the Bible says, is that the creator of the universes including the earth on which we live, is God. There is only one God, and he's the creator, he's the beginning, he's the end. And so he is the Lord of everything. And as we move from chapter 22 into chapter 23, we see that 23 talks about the final words of David. It also talks about his army. And this spirit of exaltation and praise to God, well, they are here as well. And they describe the reality of David's triumphs in his life. And David here sings to God. He sings of every victory that he'd obtained because of what God had done for him in life. And he sees that clearly. And the Bible says, these are the last words of David, the inspired utterance of David, son of Jesse, the utterance of the man exalted by the Most High, the man anointed by the God of Jacob, the hero of Israel's songs. Continues to exalt God, and it says, if my house were not right with God, surely he would not have made with me an everlasting covenant, arranged and secured in every part. Surely he would not bring to fruition my salvation and grant me my every desire. But evil men are all to be cast aside like thorns which are not gathered with the hand. Whoever touches thorns uses a tool of iron or the shaft of a spear. They are burned up where they lie. David recognizes the blessings in his life come all from God. He knows all the victories came from God, and so all the glory must go to God. And he knows full well that he only got where he got in life because of God's blessings and God's special intervention. And so he looks and reflects on his life as the protagonist in the story, where the true hero is the Lord God himself. And then we see these footnotes, the people who had helped in this story, in this epic, fascinating, historical, important journey. And the supporting cast shows here in detail within the greatness of what God has done. And these are the names of David's warriors. It's a long list, but we see here, for example, Josheb in verse 8, Eleazar in verse 9, Shammah in verse 11. Then there's a word on the three generals of the 30 chief warriors, which shows up in verse 13. We have Abishai mentioned, the brother of Joab. There's a reference to Joab himself, to Benai. There's a complete list of all the great warriors and the important men in the army, going there from verse 24 to verse 39. So a total of 37 warriors listed. And with so many conquests, so many victories, so much deliverance in the past, this great protagonist, David, once again speaks out, making a statement, telling us all, really, of the great truth that is expressed in both of these two chapters here on Mission 66 today, and that is our theme. To God and only God be all the glory.
You know what? I'm really glad that you actually mentioned these warriors, John, because, you know, these two chapters that we've read through are all about the glory being given to God. But there towards the end of chapter 23, we get this list of David's warriors and all the incredible things that they did. So if our theme really is unto God be all the glory, why are we focusing on these men? I mean, yes, they did incredible things, but who's really getting the glory here?
Well, look, I think there's only a problem when we don't recognize that it's God who gives everything to us. When we don't think of glorifying God, when we stray from what God wants for our lives, and we think that we, and only we, can sort things out. The Bible says, for example, even in the case of Benai here, it says that one day he went down this hole and he killed a lion that had fallen in the hole. So without doubt, this was a man, Benai, who was blessed with remarkable courage. He was remarkably brave. Imagine approaching a hole, seeing a lion in the hole and jumping in and slaying the lion. I mean, it's remarkable courage. But where did that remarkable talent of courage come from? Well, it came from God. And so there's recognition from these guys who are blessed with God-given abilities that without God giving those abilities, they'd be nothing. So there's that real understanding of who God is and that he's this incredibly generous benefactor who allows us to have these gifts and these abilities. And so there's no contradiction here. You can be a capable person in life with God-given abilities. The New Testament says it, if honour, that's if you're given honour, then honour means honour others. Doesn't mean the glory belongs to us. The ideal is that all of the wonderful things that God does and gives us in life, much of which we are tempted sometimes to take for granted or not even notice. But when we do notice it, we see that we are blessed because God has given the blessing. And then, if honour, then honour. So bless others because of what God has given us. Why has he given it to us? Not to feather our own nests. God gives us so we can give to others. Remembering that all glory belongs to God because everything good comes from him. So this idea of God-given ability and glorifying God, they're complementary to each other.
I love that. Absolutely beautiful, John. And, you know, looking at chapter 23, verse 16, we then see the story about one of David's warriors and, of course, doing something incredible. But here he's bringing water for David. He's bringing water to the king and David refuses to drink it, which I found quite interesting and a little extreme, I would say, at least the responses. So this warrior then takes this drink and he pours it out as an offering to the Lord. So can you perhaps explain exactly what David did here and why he acted this way?
Yeah, I know what you mean. At first sight, it seems a curious story, this one, doesn't it? The passage says the three of the 30 chief warriors came down to David at the cave of Adullam. And when David was in this fortress, the Philistine army was in Bethlehem. David longed to drink water from the cistern in Bethlehem. So the three generals had the courage to go into the Philistine camp and get this water from the cistern at great danger to themselves. And they bring this water to David. Now, the thing here is that David wants to place God in the position of priority, giving him the importance. So the Bible goes on to say that instead of drinking this water, which he was longing for, he pours the water out before God. And he makes an offering to God from this water because he'd had this incredible longing and desire to drink it. Just think about what it's like when you're really thirsty and you have this real desire to drink this water. And he wanted to drink this water from Bethlehem. So the fact that he poured the water before God and poured it out doesn't mean that he simply had scant regard for what these generals had done and just threw the water out. Now, what he was doing was presenting this liquid offering to God, paying homage to God, honouring God, knowing that God would provide for his every need if he honoured God above everything, even here, above his basic need of water for survival. So David does this to reveal his incredible understanding and appreciation of who God is and what he delivers and gives to us, everything, effectively. And so he dedicates this cold water, this wonderful drink, to God as a form of worship and praise to the Lord himself.
Well, I suppose it's pretty clear to us why God called David a man after his own heart. What a wonderful gesture to the Lord. Well, John, thank you so much for all your explanations. And dear friend, as you continue listening to us, we're going to move now into the summary of what we've learned today in 2 Samuel 22 and 23.
Yeah, so we're reaching the end, Esther, of the second book of Samuel. And here we see David giving God all the glory. And after seeing and reflecting on the great deeds of David and his warriors, We've just seen the last words in this hymn of praise and worship unto God from David. And after he's glorified God, what is the great truth that we see here? Well, it's this, that David could so easily have said that he did all of this thanks to his own innate ability. He could even have said, I did some of it by my own ability, by my own power, my own strength. But no, in every single moment, it becomes clear to us at the end of this book that David knows that everything that has happened to him in his life, all the good things, all the deliverance, it came from God. And so he rightly praises God for it all. So, why don't we give thanks for all that God has done for us, has done for you? Because he is so, so good. And he will be everything that we need him to be. Because he is the God of love. He is the God of provision.
And indeed, what a way to wrap up today's Mission 66 with a heart of thankfulness. Well, thanks be to God, and thank you, dear friend, for joining us for this episode. And we'll be back same time, same place, as we finish up 2 Samuel, looking at the life and the reign of Israel's King David. Well, my name is Esther, and representing John and our entire team, saying we'll see you next time on Mission 66.
That wraps up today's episode of Mission 66 with John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. Follow their daily teaching by downloading your free study guide at mission66.org. Go deeper into God's Word and discover how each day's teaching can apply to your life. Download your free study guide at mission66.org and have it for our next program. That's also where you can leave a comment or make a donation to continue Mission 66 here and around the world. That's mission66.org. Mission 66 is a ministry of Transworld Radio in partnership with Dr. Luis Seau.